Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There is a chance that could happen. I don't know yet. I just want to get through today. It's a walkthrough. Tomorrow we'll evaluate everything, see where Case is. I assume Case is going to be able to play. He's a tough guy. And then we'll deal with the ifs tomorrow and Friday.
There is a chance, based on what Jay Gruden said yesterday, that Colt McCoy could leap past Dwayne Haskins on the depth chart this week if he's healthy. He hasn't even thrown a pass in months. Literally, think about the last time this was the case. Any of the three quarterbacks in Washington could start on Sunday, and here we are talking right now on Thursday. To sort it all out, our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, who's been out in Ashburn throughout the week, and he will be there today as well. Craig, get us up to speed with some cliff notes on Gruden yesterday. When and how did Keenum get hurt? What's the timeline on McCoy actually throwing footballs? And Dwayne Haskins is healthy. Why wouldn't he just automatically be the guy?
So Keenum got hurt Monday in the game and woke up pretty sore on Tuesday, still sore Wednesday morning, got an MRI, and it came back. I guess stable was the way that it was phrased by Jay yesterday. Whatever was going on in his foot, everything looks okay, but it clearly is bothering him to the level that he was in a walking boot. We'll see just how precautionary that is by whether or not he practices today. Often walking boots can be just that. You can wear a walking boot around for precaution, take it off, and then go run at full speed and then go put it back on just to make sure that it doesn't get hit or that everything's aligned properly as you're in the healing process. So that the Keenum part of this, we'll find out a lot more today. Multiple reports yesterday said he's going to play on Sunday. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how he responds today. And, you know, if he also goes out and practices and then is really, really hurting tomorrow, that's a little dangerous as well. Do you feel like he can survive the game on Sunday? And can he be effective? There's a lot of questions to answer there. In terms of Colt, he's been throwing on the side. He has not practiced, but he has been continually pushing it. I actually was joking with him last week as we were kind of walking into the locker room as he came off the field with a couple of the strength coaches. And I was like, man, you got to get better so you can get some better receivers, which was a fun, playful shot at the strength coaches who I know. But he hasn't actually been in a football setting with guys around him. And, you know, does he trust that ankle to push off while there's clutter at his feet? All those kinds of things we don't know yet. And I have a hard time seeing him being comfortable with that and with them being comfortable with him doing all that stuff by Sunday. And at that point, obviously, if Keenum can't go and McCoy can't go, then Dwayne becomes the starter. But the idea that a healthy Colt is passing Dwayne on the depth chart is a little bit misleading, because Colt's always been ahead of Dwayne on the depth chart. Had Colt not gotten hurt, he would have won the job in camp, so he would have been ahead of Case too. Now, I don't think they're going to necessarily bench Case unless Case puts up another performance like he did on Monday, and it wasn't like he was great in week two against the Cowboys. But if all three are healthy and Case is at least playing at a serviceable level, I think it is Keenum, McCoy, Haskins, and it has been that way all along, but even though Colt has not been healthy.
Okay, so I saw that you had that report as well, Craig, and so I'm buying that, right? So that's the truth. That's what's going on. Here's my frustration. I want way more Haskins preparing. I feel like he's like supposed to sit in the film room and run the scout team. I need him to be the focus, and it's not happening right now. And I'm really frustrated by that. I get that it's adorable. We're gonna get Colt coached up or Case coached up and see if we can get to 1-4 through 5 weeks. I care about the next 10 years of this franchise. Why isn't there more focus on getting Haskins up to speed and getting him ready?
Because the head coach is trying to not get fired.
Ah.
That's part of it. I mean, but it's also like They have two quarterbacks, and Case is the better option for them to win games right now in their eyes, and so they've got to get him ready to win games. I mean, in any given practice period, there's about 8 plays. Now they have about 10 periods. A couple of those are special teams, but there's maybe 50 plays of practice. And so if you're giving Dwayne Haskins, you know, 2 reps per period to get him ready for the future, I don't know how much real upside there is there, but the downside is your starter's only getting 75% of the reps. And he doesn't really know what he's doing in this offense yet either. And so to do that seems detrimental. I will say the idea that he's not doing anything on scout team is kind of not accurate because he is pretending to be another quarterback, but he is facing the actual Redskins defense every single day in practice. Insert your joke about how bad they've been here, but he is facing a number one defense and running actual plays and having to make decisions against real coverage. That is actually good for his development. Now, is he doing that within the Redskins system? No. Would that help his development? Sure. But I don't have as big of a problem as a lot of people do with him being the scout team quarterback. You know, if when Colt gets back, Dwayne should still be the scout team quarterback. He's going to get more reps that way. And then it's on him to get mental reps. And that's every player who's not a starter. Every player in this league has to really be on top of their stuff in the meeting room, has to put themselves on the field behind the guy that they would be replacing and go, all right, what would I do in that situation? And considering how little Dwayne has seen of actual NFL concepts defensively, the complexities of blitzes and coverages and all these things, him getting mental reps in the classroom is really important and is going to help him eventually be able to learn from the mistakes he's going to make when he gets out there and gets on the field. And that there's no magical timeline. He doesn't have to do it for a full season, but getting him, you know, 5-6 weeks of mental reps is going to help him be a lot better prepared to succeed and then learn from his failures when he does get out there. I actually don't have a huge problem with the way they're doing it, considering how inexperienced he was coming into the league.
And I'm 100% with you on everything you just said, but a little bit of devil's advocate, I guess, and it even can work with what you just said and still be asked. At some point for me, I think what we've seen is evidence that Gruden doesn't necessarily love Haskins as a prospect.
I think this is the most important thing.
It's very rare that a top 15 pick gets taken. And I know that he's not that experienced, but there are plenty of top 15 picks that have been taken, like Mitch Trubisky, that aren't that experienced. And the journeyman, Case Keenum, isn't long for the job. But if something were to happen where someone had to start, you then go to this toy that you can't wait to unwrap. You then go to this kid that you can't wait to see, even if it's for a quick cameo against the Giants because he's unavailable and you see where he's at. If they went to Colt McCoy, call me a conspiracy theorist, but I feel like that would be everything I need to know about what Jay Gruden thinks about Dwayne Haskins. And if it's as simple as, well, he's just not that close, then to me, that's a huge story as well.
Right. And so here's the way I would respond to that. If they're 1-5 or 0-6 going into Miami and they pull the plug on Case and they don't go to Dwayne, that's a huge issue to me. Because at that point, what's the point, right? And I made this point in the piece I wrote for thefantasy.com in terms of being patient. Get through New England, right? Miami's NFL 101. New England, some doctorate level class. Don't mess with that. Making him try to do that is not fair to Dwayne. And his development is not going to be helped by getting his ass kicked by the Patriots, which is what is going to happen because he's a rookie. And rookies since 2001 against Bill Belichick are 5-23. Getting your ass kicked by the Patriots is what happens when you're a rookie, and especially if it's his first NFL start. So get him through New England. And at that point, the best they can be is what, 3-3? At that point, or 2-3, if they win the next two, and if more likely they're 1-5 or 1-4.
You're saying if they beat New England?
Right, that's what I'm saying. The best thing that can happen is you're that, but they're not going to beat New England, right? And we don't know that they're going to beat the Giants. So if they're 1-4 or 0-5, and you know that the season is over in terms of actual real hope of making the playoffs, then yeah, I would have a huge issue with them going to McCoy. And I actually just saw Will Brinson was tweeting about this, and he used a great phrase that I'm going to steal from him and stop giving him credit for very soon. He used the phrase organizational alignment. And at that point, it's clear you don't have organizational alignment between the front office and what they want and the head coach and what he's trying to do. And your long-term future has to come into play at that point. So I'm okay
along
with
that. Real quick, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If they start McCoy against the Giants, Keenum can't play for whatever reason. It's just a 1 week thing. And they go McCoy, who hadn't thrown a football for weeks, over Haskins. What would Dan Snyder or Bruce Allen say about that?
I don't know. They don't talk to us.
No, no, but I'm talking about behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I have any idea how I'm supposed to know that because they don't talk to us.
You don't have a pretty good feel for what they think about their football
team? I mean, I would
think
they probably want to see the kid, but I also think they want it, what's best for Dwayne, and I don't think starting against New England's best for Dwayne.
This is the Giants. I'm not talking about New England. I'm talking about
this
weekend.
Right, but once you squeeze the toothpaste, you can't put it back in the tube. Like, you can't start McCoy or start Dwayne against the Giants and then be like, hey, this one's too hard. You go sit for next week.
No, but I think this is an injury. I think this gives you the perfect opportunity. You throw him out there. You say Case Keenum can't play. Our backup is Dwayne Haskins. He's up this week. We get to see him. When Case is ready, he gets back out there. And then you lose to New England, by the way, by a lot. And you could say, okay, either he's starting after that or you give Keenum a couple more games. I think this actually gives you an opportunity with a soft landing spot.
It's a free out, right, because of an injury.
If he's not healthy, you can play
Haskins. If you want to play it that way, you could. But I also think that, you know, if they think McCoy gives them the best chance to win at 0-3, because it's not just – like, I understand, Danny, kind of what you were saying. Like, the only thing I care about is Dwayne Haskins in the future. But let's not pretend like there aren't other players who are part of the future. Like, good luck going to John Allen and being like, hey, we're just kind of going to wing it this week. Like, you thought he swore a lot after Monday's game? Like, if they think Colt McCoy, who, by the way, proved himself to be the best guy in the summer early on before his ankle started acting up again, if you don't think, and they've seen him practice over the last couple of years and think he's capable, if you think that Dwayne is better, fine. But I think you'd have a hard time convincing a lot of people that Colt, A, doesn't deserve a shot, and B, that you're just winging it. So I think that he gives you the best chance to win. You have to do that. And at some point you get into the season, and again, the timing works out that it's probably going to be after New England anyway, that you are 100% dead on the whole playoffs thing, and that's when you go to the kid.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it as always, buddy.
You got it. See you guys.
FanDC.com. A couple of real good stories Craig wrote are there for you on the quarterback situation. There are 7 undefeated teams right now in football. Who's a pretender? Who's a contender? We'll break it down next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. With you until 2 as always. Joe Theismann's on the show today at 1. And we'll start to take a look at some of the lines on this weekend's games that stand out with Evan Abrams of the Action Network today at 1:45 as we wind down the show. There are 7 teams that are 3-0 in football. Let's go through them and determine who is a contender, who is a pretender. And first, let's define contender. I don't want to go Super Bowl because that's an elite crop probably.
Sure.
But let's say to get into that double-digit win, legitimate top 2-3 team in your conference.
Things break right, you can play a conference title game.
Absolutely.
Right?
All right, so we start with the NFC East. The Dallas Cowboys are the only unbeaten. They are 3-0. They have outscored their opponents by 53 points. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who's watched this team play that doesn't think they're a contender. They throttled the Dolphins by 25. They handled the Redskins on the road, and they lit up the Giants in their home game to start the season. To me, the Cowboys are one of the best teams in football.
They've played 3 bad teams, but they've done exactly what you're supposed to do to 3 bad teams. Plus 53-point differential, second best in the sport. That is a contender.
By the way, the Eagles play the Packers tonight.
Tonight, man.
And we'll get into that game in detail coming up in a bit. Dallas has New Orleans on the road this weekend. Now, that sounds daunting, but the Saints obviously don't have Drew Brees. A Cowboys win could give them a 3-game lead in the division because the Eagles right now are decimated by injuries, may well lose to the Packers, who are really good tonight. We're going to get to in a second. Philly could be 1-3. Dallas could be 4-0. The division could almost be over a month into the season, which is fairly stunning. Let's get to the NFC North and the aforementioned Packers. They are the only 3-0 team. The Lions have not lost, but they did tie the Cardinals.
Weird.
So we'll stick with the 3-0 clubs, Green Bay. Plus 23 in margin. Aaron Rodgers has not posted any sexy totals yet. He's not lighting anybody up. They're trying to commit to the run. They've been very pedestrian at running the ball, but it's been kind of quantity over quality for them. And their defense that they spent a lot of money on, led by Preston Smith, has been one of the best in the sport.
Defense is the truth. So to me, that makes them a contender because I don't believe their offense can be this pedestrian the rest of the way. I think it'll improve. I don't think they're going to be a juggernaut like they've been in years past, but 58 points through three games does not inspire anything at this stage. You're handcuffing Aaron Rodgers to basically say, no, we're now a ball control team. We're a reflection of the Minnesota Vikings, basically, at this point. But defensively, they've allowed 35 points through three games, less than 12 points per game for a defense that's completely overhauled, right? So to me, that makes them a contender. I think they are legit.
Aaron Rodgers and a suffocating defense, something really as a tandem we've never seen before, makes them petrifying. I don't want to deal with the Packers. If that defense can even sustain, let's say, 75, 80% of what it's doing and Rodgers gets going, Rodgers has not yet. Just wait. He and LaFleur will have something cooked up in the coming weeks. Moving on to the NFC West to find your next 3-0 team, the LA Rams, last year's NFC rep in the Super Bowl. I don't want to say I was down on the Rams, but I thought
regression was
coming. I thought maybe 10-6, 11-5, without as many style points as last year. They beat the Browns by 7. They beat the Panthers when Cam Newton was playing and they were struggling by 3. And they beat up on the Saints the day that Drew Brees got hurt. I'm going to say contender, but I think this 3-0 is a little bit more hollow than people know in that, again, two close wins over teams you should have beaten by more, and that Saints game was kind of a fluky thing where Brees got knocked out and they brought in Bridgewater with no reps. They play the Bucs this weekend, will be telling to me. Seahawks after that, maybe even more revealing, and then the 49ers. So this stretch picks up for them. Contender, but I'm not sold on them being great yet.
I'm going to double dip the chip. Everything you just said, I echo. It's you look on paper, on the surface, you go, what's the problem? They're 3-0 plus 28 in point differential. They're doing what they're supposed to do. You watch them a little bit more closely. It doesn't look like it did last year. And that's some of that's to be expected, but they're going to drop a few games here and there, maybe more than people expect.
The last 3-0 team in the NFC, there are four total. The San Francisco 49ers, led by Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, struggled in week one and part of week two, and yet here they are. They haven't lost yet. They've outscored their opponents by 42 points. That's 14 more than the Rams have. Contender, pretender.
Pretender for me. And credit them for beating three bad teams, and they've done that. They've done what you're supposed to do. I am not buying them being a 10-11-12 win team by the end of the season. I think once they get into the division schedule, once they get into the teeth of it, they'll get beaten up a little bit and exposed. But they're doing what they're supposed to do. Good team speed. They can run the ball. I'm not buying them, though.
Their best win was a two-touchdown win in week one when they had a couple of pick sixes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Garoppolo really scuffled against a average Bucs defense. They dominated the Bengals. I think a lot of teams are going to do that this year. They should have lost to the Steelers. I don't know how Pittsburgh didn't win that game. San Francisco turned the ball over 5 times and still won. That never, ever happens. And if Ben Roethlisberger was playing, the 49ers would be 2-1. So I'm with you. I don't buy them. I think they lose to the Browns this weekend. I do think they'll be around 500. I just don't think that we're talking about can they contend for a conference championship appearance. And I would say no at this point. All right, let's get to the undefeated teams in the AFC next. You've got the household names that are the usual suspects like New England. And you got the surprise team like the Buffalo Bills. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Working our way through the NFL's 7-3-0 teams, trying to find out who's legit and who isn't, playing a little contender pretender. We just went through the NFC, 4-3-0 teams. Let's get to the undefeated clubs in the AFC. There are only three to hit on. We will start in the AFC East. New England Patriots, I don't even really know how much time we got to spend on this one, Danny. The Patriots, to this point, to win their three games, beat the Steelers 33-30 at home, the Dolphins 43-0 on the road, and then the Jets by 16 points in a game that wasn't that close because backup quarterback, Tom Brady was benched. Jarrett Stidham came on, and basically with third stringers around him, threw a pick six. And there was a special teams touchdown. So they didn't even give up an offensive touchdown and have it all season.
Yeah, so I got to correct you. You said 33-30 against Pittsburgh. It was 33-3. 33-3.
Oh, right.
In that game.
They won by 30.
Yeah, they dominated. They won by 30.
My fault.
I'm not upset with you. They are a contender. They will be in the AFC title game. They have been in the AFC title game for each of the last million years. And they'll be back again this year because they are better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
What do you want me to add? They're going to be a Super Bowl team.
Yep.
I hope. I really do, for football's sake. I hope the Chiefs can beat him in the AFC title game.
Let's go, Chiefs.
I also love Pat Mahomes.
Sure you do.
Your Deshaun Watson stuff that you do, and I like him too just fine, that's me with Pat Mahomes.
He's so
exciting.
Good.
He's the best. He's fun to watch. I love that guy. I want to watch him for the next 18 years, and I hope nothing changes. I hope he and Andy Reid sing beautiful music and stay in a band, and they get into garages and play their guitars for a long, long time.
Just Paul and John Lennon getting after it.
Which brings us to the Chiefs, by the way, who are plus 37.
Contender.
Again, there's not much else to say. I love their win against the Ravens, though. Wasn't quite as much of a test as the score might indicate, 33-28. They kind of had the game in hand most of the second half. But a five-point game against a team that everybody was jocking, that had been great for 2 weeks. They also beat the Jaguars by two touchdowns. And as we've seen, maybe Gardner Minshew's okay. He played well against Kansas City. And they pummeled the Raiders. They basically took the first, the third, the fourth quarters off, and they won by 18. They scored four touchdowns in the second quarter.
Yeah, I mean, I you know how I feel. I think the Ravens are the truth, and Kansas City handled them. The game wasn't even that close. You're right. They forced some bad throws from Lamar Jackson. Defensively, they were pretty good. I know what the score ended up indicating, but to me, Kansas City was by far the better team if you watch that game. So, yeah, the Chiefs, to me, are a legit contender. They go to the Super Bowl last year if they had any defense. Or if a guy didn't jump off sides, they'd probably go to the Super Bowl.
True.
That team is the truth.
Or if the NFL's overtime rules weren't terrible.
Ah!
And both teams got to touch the ball.
Huh.
But they are terrible. And here we are. The Bills are the last team to get to. The Bills are 3-0.
Bills are 3-0, Ben.
They beat the Jets 17-16. They were down 16-0 and came back in the fourth quarter in that game.
Simply should not have won that game, to be honest with you.
They beat the Giants 28-14. That was the Eli Manning-led Giants. That's a different kind of Giants. Not as fun to play against the Daniel Jones-led Giants, maybe. And then, this past weekend, they had to come back and beat Cincinnati, who they were up on all day long, 21-17. So, they've played basically two squeakers against teams that I think most people think are in the bottom third of the league to get to 3-0. They play the Patriots this weekend.
With apologies to our pal Luke Russert, your Bills are fraudulent, pal. All right? Enjoy the first 3 weeks. That's a lot of fun. Now you got some adults. Patriots, Titans, Eagles left to come on the schedule. They do have the Dolphins twice, so the win total will be fine. They could squeeze to 7, 8, heck, maybe even 9 wins just by part of being in that bad division, non-Patriots. That is not a great team yet. Defensively, they're good. That is a good defensive group. Offensively, it's still a lot of Frank Gore. It's still a lot of ancient running backs, a lot of 2.8 per carry. It's not that dynamic. They're acquiring some weapons. They're on their way, but they're not there yet. They're not very good.
I agree. I'm going pretender. I think you have to. But I could see this team being a wild card contender.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean contender, right? Because we're talking about being in the mix at the end of the conference play. But you can find wins here. They're going to lose to the Patriots.
But they got two Dolphins left on the schedule.
There's two wins. The Titans, they could win that game. That could be a third win. They play the Redskins. They could win that game. That could be a fourth
win. They play the Broncos, who aren't any good.
Could be a fifth win. They're good. They play the Jets again. That could be a win. That could be six more. That would get them to 9. If they just handle their business against teams they could easily beat. Then you've got other games like Dallas late in the year. Who knows if At that point, the Cowboys looked the same as they do now. The Ravens, tough game. The Patriots, twice, including this weekend. The Browns, Cleveland? We're not really sure. And the Eagles. We thought the Eagles were going to be very good. I picked them to win the division. So far, that looks wrong. They'll be healthier come October 27th when that game is played. So who knows about that one either. But I could see them. If you told me right now the Bills went 10-6, it wouldn't shock me with their schedule.
The math is on their side. Because you start 3-0 against some bad teams, you deserve credit for that. Now you've stockpiled and you go 500 the rest of the way, give or take, you're at 9 wins. Right? If you go 6-7 the rest of the way, you just got to 9 and you're probably a postseason team.
All right, let's find a 9-7 team then of the 0-3 teams real quick. They go the rest of the way 9-4. And they have a chance to be what I think would be the 7th team in history to start 0-3 and make the playoffs. Could the Jets win 9 games?
Not to me.
No, I agree.
I don't think.
Luke Falk was their quarterback this weekend. And even when they get Sam Darnold back next week, it's going to be too late. Yeah.
Falk was a poor choice.
Dolphins, we won't waste any time.
Nope.
Will they win a game? That's the fun debate for them. Bengals, no.
No.
Steelers, if Roethlisberger was healthy, maybe would be in that convo. He's not. They've got Mason Rudolph. I didn't see enough from him against San Francisco to think they can.
He looked like a backup that was thrust into duty that had never done it before. He's been there a while. That was really disappointing. I thought that would be a nice ease in for him. That was if you're a Steelers fan, you got to be pretty down.
The Broncos are 0-3. Their offense is awful.
Reprehensible.
Why, Joe Flacco? Why did they do that? Everything that John Elway has done at quarterback, pretty much since luring Peyton Manning back, has blown up in his face.
Well, Joe Flacco's tall.
Good point.
What are you saying, right? Like, don't you get it?
So we're still looking for the team that has a chance to go 9-7 and make the playoffs. The Redskins at 0-3.
No.
Nothing about them would lead you to believe that yet. That's kind of the list.
Cardinals are 0-2-1, but no to them.
No. All right, so we have to pick one then. If you have to pick one.
Steelers, just based on track record. Even though I don't buy it, but just, you know, maybe they rally the troops. I mean, last year, remember how weird they started out? They got to 9-7, but it wasn't good enough to be in the playoffs, right?
Division's really tough,
though. It is. It's a bear.
I'm thinking.
Who is it then?
If I'm saying no to the Steelers, you know what I'll do?
What are you going to do?
Broncos. I'll go. Their defense is pretty good. And that division, while you've got Kansas City, is not as good. The Raiders are not very good. And maybe the Chargers step back this year.
Okay.
So I'll go the Broncos. And good if not you. The Broncos, strike up the band, Tommy. Here in Washington, the Redskins.
9-4 the rest of the way.
But I would say the Broncos get to 9-7 if you told me somebody was going.
Someone's going to do it.
I like your take on the Steelers, too. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports, comes up next. The Beltway Blitz at noon. And at 12:18, Mike Lombardi eviscerated Bruce Allen on the show yesterday. What has to happen this year for this to be the end of the Bruce Allen tenure, which has lasted now a decade?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. If you are on the go, just a reminder, the Radio.com app is a must. I listen to Radio.com every day in the neighborhood, listen to the station all day long. It's great. There have been a bunch of apps throughout the years that people have used to stream the show, and most of them stunk. This one is really good, and you can take the show anywhere. It's super easy to do. So there's really no good excuse to miss the show live if you're out and about. If you want to be listening, and it always means a lot to us when you do, and that you do, we really appreciate all of you. Continue to spread the word on GND. Football season's normally prime time. It's kind of a good time for us. Business starts to boom a little bit.
Indeed, sir.
Which is nice. It's time for our double play. It's a daily staple every day at 11:45. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
Do mine quick, Jeeps. It came out last week, or maybe a little bit more than last week now. Borderlands 3, a series of games that are just epically fun. So much fun. This, to me, is one of those games that bends or melts kind of together. The DAR style of games, which is for children, the Call of Duty terribleness where you get online and some 12-year-old has already prestige and snipes you and it's miserable and they insult you with epithets and terrible things. And actual games for gamers, which are people that like to be alone in a cold, dark room, comfortably building up characters by yourself. It is a looter shooter, GP. A looter shooter.
Sounds fake to me.
But it is fake. It's made up. It's a video game.
No, but it sounds like something that's not real.
I know what you mean.
Well, it sounds like this isn't actually a game. It sounds like a word you just made up to say on the radio.
Looter shooter?
Yeah.
No, it's a thing. It's a genre of game.
I believe you.
I'd say one of the hallmarks series of that game. It's super fun. It's funny. It's, you know, cartoonish violence over the top. All it is basically is just you getting new gear all the time. And the looting is really the fun part about it. Feels a little bit different than some of the games in this series past, but overall, very fun, very positive. I'm a few hours in. I'm only a level 11 at this point, Jeeps. I'm ashamed to say I haven't been able to clock the amount of hours
so embarrassing.
I'd really like. There are people that I'm friends with on my PS4 network
Wouldn't even say that on the air.
Who are in the 30s and 40s at this point after a couple weeks. I just don't have the time. All the time. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. Highly recommend picking it up. Shooting-wise, some of the mechanics play controls don't feel as smooth and intuitive as in years past, but I have a feeling I will get used to it as time goes on, and they're purposely making it more challenging. But I will say, overall, again, very positive experience. 7.5 carbs out of 10.
Joe Theismann's on the show at 1 today, which I can't wait for. About 1 hour and 10 minutes away. What's the chance that he plays any video games?
None.
What do you think is the last video game Joe Theismann played?
Pong one time, and he's like, not for me. I'll go achieve.
I'm good on that.
There's no way he does.
I actually, believe it or not, I have a video game question for you.
Please.
Somebody recently said to me, it was a kid though, they said something that I don't believe, and I want to bounce it off you to see if it's true.
Go ahead.
Do they still make Grand Theft Auto games?
Absolutely.
Why?
Massive popularity?
That game was massive when I was a kid. How many of those have they made now?
So, 5 full-fledged titles. GTA 5, number one selling game, I think, on the PS4. It's either the first or second. I can't remember which. But huge, massive, enormous.
Last one to come out was number 5?
Yes. A few years ago now.
So, they spread them out then. Because it's been... If I'm 31, it's probably been 16, 17 years maybe since I was playing it.
Yeah, those games...
every 3 or 4 years they do it?
Yeah, on average. Those games are so huge.
Is it the same where you like steal a car and there's a helicopter overhead?
Oh, yeah. But,
and there's some boss tells you what job he wants you to do?
But when I say huge, I mean it's so involved, right? Like the storylines, the missions, the amount of things you can do, the world building. Those games are huge and they take a really, really long time to produce. Whereas they just sort of change one leaf on a Call of Duty map pack and DAR can't wait to buy it. You know,
remember, you may not, but there were like a couple of years ago where we had talked about gaming and how it was kind of like your release and therapeutic in some way for you. And it was what you did. And I said, you know what? I need to get back into that. And so I went and I bought an Xbox One. And
it's a great paperweight for you.
I think I've used that Xbox. I've probably played. The only time it gets used is if my brother or a friend comes up and we play a game of Madden. And I think that's happened maybe twice in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible purchase. One of my 2 worst purchases of my life.
Well, what's the other one?
I'm glad that you asked. I bought a go-kart when I was like a teenager.
What?
Yeah. So I came into a little bit of money.
Okay.
By way of, this is funny. And by a little bit of money, I mean a very little bit of money. Like, I got paid for broadcasting the Little League World Series when I was like 13 years old.
Nice.
ABC Sports.
Yeah.
Okay. So I did the Little League World Series out in Williamsport, and they paid me like, I don't remember what it was, but I think I did like 2 weeks of work, and I probably made like $3,000 or something. I don't remember what it was, right? I turned around. I put that money in the bank for like 2 weeks, and then I said, you know, Dad, Mom, I want a go-kart.
I've been saving for a while.
They're like, well, that's a bad choice, but it's your money.
It's your money.
There's nowhere for you to drive the go-kart. You'd have to drive around our backyard and just tear up our grass, but... You do that.
Like, I wonder how I'm going to handle that, by the way, as a quick side, when, like, my kid comes to me, he's like, I have a terrible idea.
Right.
And it's like, but it's your money. Is like, is it worth the lesson for the terrible purchase?
I think it is.
Or do we just forbid them from doing it?
I'll be honest with you. I haven't, other than the Xbox One, I haven't really made that many more terrible purchases.
You put your Xbox on the go-kart.
So they said, like, here are the drawbacks to this go-kart. You know, A, you probably can use it for another year or two before you're too big and it doesn't matter. B, we don't have anywhere to drive it. Like, you have to get a thing to take it somewhere, which like keeps you from going to a track or whatever. Like, there are a lot of reasons why it made no sense in King George County for me in the area where we live to get a go-kart.
Right, right.
But I got the go-kart. Handful of times. I used it, you know, 10 to 12 times, I'd say, like, where I had a lot of fun. I don't know if that justified it. And what was that money really doing anyway? Sitting in the bank, not being used? What was I going to use it on?
I don't know.
I'm a kid. Like, my parents are paying for all the stuff I'm doing.
Maybe a car one day? Little interest? It grows up, maybe? Down payment or something? I don't know.
I suppose. Hard to tell a 13-year-old that in a few years...
Yeah, wait for 3 years, buddy.
You can use this. So the go-kart. That was the other terrible purchase.
The go-kart.
Beltway Blitz at noon. We'll talk about the Redskins and the Nationals next. Bruce Allen is bad at his job. How bad do the Redskins have to be for him to no longer be in charge at the end of this season? Grant and Danny coming up at 12:18.
They're good purchases. They're bad purchases like go-karts or video game systems you don't use, but they're good purchases like a Ted Britt Ford. Aha, aha. Here's what you're going to get, right, when you go to Ted Britt Ford. 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in. That's on the Tom Daly, right? That's not just once in a while. That's all the time, every day. Then, after you've gotten your nice little bit of coin for your trade-in, you could use it and apply it towards, I don't know, a brand spanking new Ford with some awesome deals. You're not going to pay them anything for 60 days. In honor of their 60-year celebration. You're not going to pay them anything for 60 days. So you got 2 months, basically, just to sit in your hands. You can do whatever you want. 60 days, you don't owe them anything. Then, speaking of owe, you're going to owe less on a lot of these cars. Check this out. $7,900 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Ranger. $9,000 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Mustang. $9,400 off the MSRP on a 2019 Ford Explorer. $9,900 below MSRP on a 2019 Ford Escape. $10,000 off that MSRP on a 2019 Ford Ranger truck. $12,225 off a 2019 Ford Edge. A moment about the Edge, if I may. We got one, and we love it. That's right. It's a family car. I'll be driving it today to baseball practice. Yeah, big deal. Just a domesticated dad over here shuttling the kids to and or fro. Go see my guys at Temple Ford. Fair thing. Tell me quickly. When you go, tell them that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.